Thirdly, we have the immediate effect that we can see. If Jesus actually did rise from the dead, if you know, this incredible act actually happened in history, we wouldn't expect it to go unnoticed. Somebody actually died, credibly, and then actually rose from the dead. That would be newsworthy. You think people would talk about it? And they did. And that's what happened. Today, if it happened, you'd expect it to pass around the world at Twitter speed, right? Or BBM, well, maybe not today. You'd expect it to get, you know, instantaneously spread around the world. The way Jesus' message was spread around the world in less than 300 years is kind of Twitter speed for those centuries. They only just had invented the Roman road, a way for people to quickly move from town to town with a message. And that took a long time. So a message that traveled around the known world in just a few hundred years was moving incredibly quickly. It transformed people too. We can read about how it took a man like Peter. Peter was Jesus' closest follower. If you've been reading the Gospel of John, you know he's not perfect. He says a lot of silly things. He's a little impulsive. And he's a fisherman. That's his job. He catches fish. And he's kind of, you know, fishermen aren't really known for their public speaking abilities, their ability to command audiences of thousands. And yet, within a short time from Jesus' death and resurrection, he's doing that. But the Bible records that the minute Jesus died, he ran away. He pretended he didn't know Jesus, and he took off, and he even went back to fishing. And then the next thing you know, he's in Jerusalem preaching to 3,000 people at a time. Again, if Jesus had actually died and risen from the dead, you'd expect to see that kind of change in his followers. From having lost all hope to suddenly being dynamically transformed as the excitement of the event caught on. You'd expect that to spread, and it did. The church, the community of people who were learning to follow Jesus, started to grow at a tremendous rate, and it drew attention from authorities who tried to squash the movement of people who decided to be Christians. It was called the Way at the time, people who followed the Way. And some of the leaders of those persecuting the Christians, trying to kill them, in fact, even found themselves convinced it was true. And that's Paul's story. If you read any letters written by Paul in the Bible, he's a man who used to be a professional Christian killer and then had an experience of the risen Jesus, not the dead Jesus, but the risen Jesus, and decided himself that he was going to plant churches all around the Mediterranean rather than make sport of killing Christians. Clearly something happened to make that kind of change in his life. So the growth of the Christian church, those first followers of Jesus, it's a story of a peaceful revolution that's unmatched in history. We've never seen change at this level, at this speed, that wasn't brought in by force. The belief that Jesus actually did rise from the dead makes sense of all the things we see spreading around the world and happening in the Bible. Twitter speed, just in a different era. And finally, there's the experience of Christians around the world and through the centuries. Countless millions of Christians have experienced the risen Jesus in their own lives. I have, I know Ed and Sherry have, and perhaps others of you have as well. There are people who experience the risen Jesus today in their lives, and they come from every nationality, every ethnicity, every continent, every economic, social, intellectual background. And yet they all come together in groups we call churches, and they say, yes, I've experienced Jesus in my life. Millions of people all over the world today are experiencing that, what it means to have a relationship with the risen Jesus, not a dead man, but a Jesus who's alive and well and living and moving in people's hearts and lives today. Jesus isn't somebody to speak about in the past tense. Jesus was this. He's somebody we can speak about very much in the present tense and say he is doing this in the world today, in my life today. And we'll explore a little bit more in the next three sessions later today and next week what that actually looks like. But there are many people today who can speak of having had an experience with the risen Jesus, sometimes dramatic and profound, sometimes very, very personal, very slow-moving, but also very profound. The evidence that Jesus did, in fact, rise from the dead is extensive. There's a lot more to it than what I briefly touched on in terms of a bit of medical and psychological evidence and all that. There's a lot more, and it's fascinating to read. But this book can be helpful if you do want to read more about that. It's called The Case for Christ. I have it for sale for $5 here if you want to look at it. And it was written by a guy named Lee Strobel. He's a Yale law grad, and he became an investigative journalist with the Chicago Tribune and investigated scams by the mafia. One day his wife came home and said she'd decided to become a Christian, and he was not a happy guy. And so he decided he was going to write an expose. He was going to apply all his investigative journalism techniques to Christianity and prove it to be a scam, because that's what he did for a living. And so he went and met with people who were experts in all these different fields and actually came away convinced. And he wrote this book to talk about some of the experts that he's met with who've convinced him that the events in the Bible actually did happen. He became convinced and that there was actually a case for Christ. So the evidence is extensive. Remember last week we talked about three possibilities: that he was a liar, that he was insane, or that he was actually the Lord. C.S. Lewis, who we mentioned before, looked at the same kind of evidence we've looked at. We've looked at Jesus' character, his teachings, his fulfillment of prophecy, his resurrection from the dead. And C.S. Lewis and we are all faced with a startling alternative. And the way C.S. Lewis, a great Christian author, wrote it was either Jesus was and is exactly what he said, or else he was insane or something worse. However strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view he was and is God. And his book, Surprised by Joy, is all about his conversion as an atheist to believing there was actually a case for Christ as well. And he did that, again, in a very rational way. He looked and he said, decided, you know, he's either insane, deluded, a liar, or he actually is who he says he is. And the evidence points to certainly him being who he said he was. We're going to pause for some discussion now, and then we're going to come back together and look at what this actually means. So, okay, sure, he died, rose from the dead, but why? What does it actually mean to us? Well, thanks for joining us today as we've seen how changed lives can help us today see that Jesus really did rise from the dead. I've got a question for you to think about and discuss. If Jesus did rise from the dead, what difference would it make in your life, and how would people see that difference? Maybe you can think of some examples of people you know who've obviously been changed by God. How could you tell? What difference did it make in them? I've also got a reading from the Bible for you. Please read John chapter 16, and as you do, reflect, what kind of transformed life is Jesus preparing his disciples to experience? Have a great one. I'll see you tomorrow.